inside, man. I tell you what, ain't nothing like it. If you, I recommend it. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let me turn this on. John chapter 12. And you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went through where showed you in the book of, was it John, where Jesus went 2 days and then he went 4 days. 4 days was type of Old Testament saints, and then 2 days until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here it starts out in Jesus 6 days, John chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany. And 6 days, and you know, 6,000 years. Day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. As, and it says he came to Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which was dead, had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Here at the first chapter, or first verse, you got the resurrection after 6,000 years. And then it says, and then you got a supper. Isn't that something? In verse 2, it says, and they were made him a supper, and Martha served, and but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Martha, she stands for service. That's what Martha stands for, but this is supper. And then Lazarus, he stands for communion with God. Mary, she shows how to worship. She starts worshiping. And then, you know, the others, they came in, had a grateful heart of what the Lord did. It says, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. He was Lazarus was having communion with God, and they took and then took Mary. Here's the worship part: a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And it says, then said one of the disciples, "Here comes the devil." After this 6,000 years of resurrection, then the supper, and then Mary worshiping. That's what we're going to do. You know that. We're going to be worshiping. Then the devil shows up. The devil shows up. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? There's some people who can't get in on it, man. They can't get in on worship. They can't get in on communion. They can't get in on resurrection. They just can't do it, man. All they can see is, why was this waste? And they don't realize it wasn't wasted at all. That thing wasn't wasted at all. I mean, it was given to Jesus Christ. It was for the anointing of his body. And man, it came for worship. And the Bible says the place was filled with the smell. You know what? When we pray, I mean, when we have fellowship and prayer meeting and all that, the place should be a good smell to God. You say, if you read in your Bible, you'll find that the sweet incense, when they went into the tabernacle, was for a sweet smell and savor. And man, when we pray, you read that over in Revelation, when we pray, it should be a sweet smelling savor to God. I mean, this is just some things that God showed throughout his scriptures here. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And he said on not that he cared for the poor. This guy, Judas, never does care for the, you know, you watch out for people always talking about the poor, wanting to help the poor, and they're wanting more money and tax money and all that stuff. Watch out for them people. They're all a bunch of crooks. That's all they are. Always talking about the poor, but they don't give a dime out of their own pocket. They won't give a penny. They don't care. All they care is about what they can get out of you. That's all they care about. And putting somebody down. That's all they care about. It says, he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she kept this. For the poor ye have always with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus only sake, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests consulted, and they might be put Lazarus to death, also to death. They wanted to kill Lazarus because Lazarus was the testimony of what Jesus did. They wanted to kill him too because he rose from the grave. A guy came up, and they wanted to kill him. And the Bible says, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on him. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast. Now, what I wanted to talk about, this is 6 days before the Passover. 6 days, and then you talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem. I wanted Brother Derek to show this thing, but it didn't go through. I was up on the Mount of Olives, and we were looking at it, and I got my finger out like this, and I'm pointing over to Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ, in another passage of, I think it was in Luke, the Bible says he wept over Jerusalem after the entry, he went into Jerusalem, he wept over them. He wept over because he knew what was coming, because they wouldn't receive the king. Even though there's a bunch of people saying Hosanna to the king, you know, praise be our God and all that, but the Sanhedrin and all the Jews that were in authority, they rejected him. And they rejected him. But look what the Bible says. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I mean, we ought to be saying, blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. We ought to be praising him. Amen. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as is written, fear not, daughters of Zion. He says, behold, the thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. That's a prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9. And the Bible prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to come, his first entry into Jerusalem. You know what his second entry is going to be? It's going to be, man, it's going to be with power. His second entry is going to come in with power. This is his first entry into Jerusalem, and they were yelling Hosanna to the highest and praising God. And they were giving God praise, but the Sanhedrin, all the rest of them were sitting around like a lot of people come to church. They're sitting like this. When people start worshiping Jesus Christ, there's a bunch of people that sat there like this. Just like that. They despised him. They despised praise. They despised all those things. And I like where the Bible says he sat on a, the Bible says they put him on an ass. A donkey. They put him on that donkey. And man, he started riding that donkey in. But we're going to look at another passage in a minute. But look at here. It says, fear not, daughters of Zion, verse 15, thy king cometh and sitting on the ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that was with him when they called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead, bared record. For this cause, the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is going after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that come up to worship at the feast. Then came the same came, therefore, to Philip, and so on. Now, take your Bible, look over to Matthew chapter 21. Go to Matthew chapter 21. I love this. I love this. I love reading about Jesus Christ coming in Jerusalem. And then the Bible tells us, like I said, in Luke, that he wept over them. He wept over the place. Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives. And I was sitting up there. Everywhere I went in Jerusalem, man, folks, I'm telling you what, everywhere I went, I was just about crying, just seeing it. Just knowing that Bible come alive. Everywhere I went there, I would love to take our church and our people one day to Jerusalem and to Israel. I would love to go there again. I really would. I would love to go back and go see everything again and just get and freshen my mind. Me and Brother Glenn would stand up there and I would point my finger and Glenn said, that's where over there on that side is where, he said, where Judas went out and hung himself. And it showed where Judas, and then we had the Valley of Kitron. And then you got the brook there. And it meant everything's right there. We had to go up. When the Bible says he ascended up the Mount of Olives, we had to go up. And you come up and go, and then, you know, and you stand on the Mount of Olives, you can see Jerusalem. You can see the thing. You're standing there, and I'm looking at that thing, and I'm, man, weeping over that thing, thinking about, man, here, my Lord might have stood right here in this place. And the Bible says that they went and got these young asses, and they put him on. Look at this. And it says in verse Matthew chapter 21, it says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. Jesus sent them out on a mission, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord have need of them. I thought about why did he have two and he only rode one? Because, I mean, one of them was the mother, one was the foal, and he rode the foal, and the mom, that foal had to take both of them because that foal wasn't going to leave that mama, and he wanted that mama to come right along with it. That reminds me over in Acts chapter 16, it says, thou shalt be saved in thy house. The Lord wants the whole household come. He wants them all to get in. And the Bible says in verse 3, if any man say unto you, ye shall say, the Lord have need of them, and straightway he will send them. A man, he said, the Lord hath need of them. And the Bible says, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, a foal of an ass. And his disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come in Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray, God, now you, Father, fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray, help me speak the words you want me to speak. Help me not say anything you don't want me to say. I pray, help me lift up that name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Lord, I thank you, God, for that name. That name means everything. That name means everything to us. Amen. Oh, God, thank you for it. Thank you for that precious name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to preach a little bit just about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And, man, everybody's praising God. I'm telling you what, man, you know, the whole creation, the Bible talks about looking forward to the day when the Lord comes back. You know, Jerusalem should have been ready for him. They should have been ready for him, you know, but they weren't. They weren't ready for him. Just like the church right now is not ready for the Lord to come back. I mean, the church, if anybody ought to be ready for the Lord to come back, it ought to be us, amen? It ought to be the church around the world. They ought to be looking for Jesus Christ, but they weren't ready for him. They weren't ready. They weren't expecting it at that time. You know, the Bible says, in such hours you think not the Son of Man coming. When you don't even think he's coming, when you don't think that's going to happen in your lifetime, he'll show up. Amen. I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I really do. I believe the Lord's going to come back in my lifetime. You can say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, you can say, well, I don't know about that. But I believe it's going to be in my lifetime if the Lord lets me live. I started thinking 10 years from now, I'll be 75, 74, 75. I said, man, we had Brother Lawson here the other night. He said he was 74. I said, man, I think I can make it that far. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Maybe I can be 74, 75. And man, then I look at Brother Soche. He's 82, 83, something like that. I look at Brother Soche. I could probably make it that 80. That's maybe another 15, 20 years. Maybe I can make it that. If save the Lord come back. I believe the Lord's coming back in my time, don't you? I believe he's coming back in your time. And I'll tell you this, he's going to come back right on time. Amen. He's going to come back right on time. And you know, the Bible says in Romans that the animals are going to expect him. The animal's going to come. And the animal's going to rejoice when they see him. And then my Bible says in Isaiah 55, it says the trees are going to clap their hands. Man, can you imagine that? I mean, you made that Wizard of Oz years ago when they're going through that forest and the trees are talking to them and the trees are reaching out trying to grab them. You say, oh man, is that real? One day it's going to be real. One day the trees are going to go, Hosanna to the King, and start shouting and praising God. I mean, the Lord even said to the Pharisees came to Jesus Christ and said, man, they're saying Hosanna to the King and everything. Shut them up. Shut them up. Keep them quiet. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear it. Like a lot of people don't like to hear shouting about Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear praising God. They don't want to hear that. They say, shut them up. Shut them up. They go to churches that they don't open their mouth about Jesus Christ. When somebody starts singing a song, they don't praise him. They don't thank him. They say, shut them up. Shut them up. The churches are dead. You know what Jesus said? He said, if they'd shut up, he said, the rocks would cry out. I mean, brother, I'm going to tell you something. Over in Israel, there's a lot of rocks. And can you imagine them when they went into Jerusalem? That would scare the far out of people, man. I mean, can you imagine going down the street and all of a sudden the rocks started going, whoa, jumping up and down, the rocks. I said to Brother Glenn, I said, look at all them graves. He said, that's the biggest Jewish graveyard in all the world right there. And I said, man, why do they put rocks on top of the graves? He said, because they're too cheap to buy flowers. But I mean, because there's abundance of rocks. When you read your Bible, you read where the Bible says they were throwing rocks. They picked up rocks to stone him. The reason why? Because there's plenty of rocks there, man. Can you imagine the rocks start crying out and praising God? My Lord. I mean, brother, if a rock, I ain't going to let a rock outdo me. Oh. I ain't going to let rock outdo. I ain't going to let the animals outdo me. If anybody, I mean, the Lord redeemed us. He redeemed human beings that were full of sin and on the way to hell. He redeemed you, and you're going to let an animal outdo you? You're going to let an animal outpraise you? You're going to let a tree outclap you? My Lord, man, can you imagine you walk by a tree and the tree limb goes, whap, I praise him a lot more than you do. Man, the Bible says they took them branches off and they threw them down. And man, you look at them palm trees. And most, you know, you think about this morning, people are talking about, this is Palm Sunday. And they come in, everybody gets a palm. And they don't even know why. They don't even know why they got it. We don't give out little palm trees around here, or palm branches. We don't give them out. Why? I mean, y'all wouldn't even know what to do with them. Or you say, oh, you give me a switch to whip my child. Oh, good. No, amen, praise his holy name, with a switch. You know what? The kids, if they got a more switch, maybe they wouldn't be in so much trouble. But, man, this is 6 days before the Passover. You said, when do you believe the Passover started? The Passover started on Wednesday. So this is 6 days from Wednesday. Jesus Christ was taken and hung on a cross between Wednesday night when he was being beat. Here he was a week before going into Jerusalem. Everybody's crying, Hosanna to the King. Praise him, except for the Pharisees, except for the religious folks, real religious. You know who was praising him? The people that had nothing. The people that knew they weren't nothing. That's the ones that were praising him. That's the one that was saying, Hosanna, salvation has come. But the religious crowd, skeptical. They sat back, criticized. They said, shut these people up. Shut them up. I remember when I was going to school, Tabernacle, and they used to call, I worked with a bunch of guys, and they used to call us Sightler's Raiders. She said, what do you mean by that? They said, well, we would get all fired up and shout and praise God. And I remember I went to work over there at Don's Meats. I'll never forget that. Don's Meats, a guy named Mr. Cajun that was my boss. He fired me once for witnessing. I went into Wendy's when the Wendy's first opened up. I love Wendy's. I mean, I loved Wendy's. And man, Wendy's hamburgers used to be that thick when they first opened up. And I'll never forget, we went in there, man, and I'd go in to deliver meat, and the lady manager said, well, maybe talk to my kid. She said, what do you think about this? And I'd tell her what the Bible said. They called my boss and said, he's out here preaching to us. And I was just delivering meat. And they asked me a question. I told them. And Mr. Cajun, he fired me for that. He said, Alan, you keep it up. I'm going to have to fire you. And I went back to a couple other places. They called and said, this guy's coming here witnessing, preaching to everybody. And then he fired me one that morning. I went home. I was kind of down. I went to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the time I got back home at 6 o'clock, I told Linda I got fired. And the phone rang. He said, "Get back to work. Come back to work." I said, "You hired me back?" He said, "I hired you back." But I'd go to prayer meeting. I'd go in there in the office on Saturday. He'd call me in. He always had me every Saturday come in. I needed the money, and I'd go in on Saturday. And we'd get down, and he said, "Well, let's have a prayer meeting." And the guys at Bob Jones. And over at Southside Baptist Church, I went there. Nobody said amen. Nobody praised God. They made fun of us that praised God. They made fun of us. You know what? You start praising God, the people make fun of you. They will make fun. I don't care. Don't bother me. I don't care. I don't care what they think. As long as it's approval up in heaven. I don't care what they think. I get a kick out of Ken running around yelling in the boys' face. I got a kick out of him coming up here yelling. And that's cool, man. That's fun. That's fun stuff. Some people, I don't think that should happen in church. Oh, man, I tell you what, let's have some more of it. Long as, you know, it's real. I mean, they were cutting up doing that, but I believe that boy means what he's doing. I believe Brother Ken means it. Amen. Don't you? But, I mean, I was over there, man, praying in that Don's Meats on Saturday morning, and for about a month, I didn't know what in the world was going on. Every one of them, we'd pray, and I'd amen the guys when they were praying. But then when I was praying, they'd go, And I really, God is my witness, I thought they were having gas. I really did. I thought they had a problem with their stomach or something. And they were, And finally, after a month of praying, I said, hey, man. I stopped in the middle of my prayer. I said, hey, man. I said, if you're trying to praise God or say amen. Stop your mumbling and groaning. And, man, makes me want to go to the bathroom when you do that. And, man, they was just, all that stuff. But I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with praising God. One day we will praise him in a new body. Amen. But the trees are clapping their hands. Rocks are crying out. Palm trees, I wrote this down. The palm leaves of a tree resembled a palm of a hand. Palm of a hand. You know what Jesus said to Thomas? Look at my hands. They represent the palm of a hand. He was hung. And you know what else? You know, you think about World War II. I like to watch some old-time movies where or clips where, Patton comes riding into France, and then you had Montgomery coming into France, and they've delivered brought deliverance to that country. People were up in the windows throwing flowers out, and the whole street was just covered with flowers. You know what that was? Victory. That was victory. Like I said, there's people getting palms this morning. They don't know nothing about what they are. They don't know that Jesus Christ was coming in, presenting himself to Jerusalem, presenting himself to the people, and they rejected him. 6 days later, they yell, crucify him! Kill him! Some of y'all look like you had that kind of face this morning. My Lord. It represents, the palm trees represent victory. It also given, it was given as a war to a military campaign, a leaf-like. It was a military campaign award. They were storming the palm tree, went and cut them down and put them out in front of him, and he went over them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21, and it says, the multitude who went before him that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? That to me is sad. They didn't know who he was. Their king, they didn't know who he was. Made me think about how many Christians really don't know who he is. They don't know what he represents in their life. They get saved, they call on him for salvation, but they really don't know him. That's sad. And you, like I said, in the book of Mark, I believe, or Luke, you'll find Jesus weeping there. Weeping over him because they didn't know who he was. He wept over Jerusalem. Man, but I want to concentrate a few minutes, just look at these asses. And man, we only got a couple minutes. You know, whenever the Bible talks about it, he said, get these, he chose to use these two, this ass, and ride on this foal. And they put him on there, and they put their clothes on top of there. And they rode him out. And I could see him coming down the Mount of Olives, coming down that hill. And they got him by the strap, and they're walking him in. And they're going through the eastern gate. You know what? When the Bible says he's going to come back again, he's going to come in on a white stallion. You say, well, that, you say, what did that represent? It represented when David was dying, he said, when Bathsheba came in and said, you know, your son is over there presenting himself as king. He said, go get Solomon and put him on my ass. Represents royalty. Put him on my, and take him through the city and yell and cry out, God save the king. Long live the king. They should have been saying, long live the king. You know, but today, a world, when you talk about an ass, that's what they use to call somebody stupid. They call somebody stupid. They say, oh, you just say stupid. They say, oh, you worship God, you follow God, you go to church, you give your money down there, you're just stupid. You're just a fool. You're just stupid. That's, my dad used to say that to me. He said, you're just a fool. That church got plenty of money. You give me money down that church and you're doing all that. And he said, you're just a fool. Until my dad got saved. Amen. And when my dad got saved, it changed everything. Amen. What a blessing that was. You know what I wanted to say this morning, this one preach on? Would you allow God to ride you? Would you allow God to ride you? Wherever he wanted to go? When he wanted to go into Jerusalem, he said, go get that next city over. We had to go through the Mount of Olives to go up the hill and all that to go to Nazareth. But would you allow the Lord to ride you? Because the Bible says a lost man is like a wild ass's colt in the book of Job. You know what you are? You were, you should be, it were, you are a wild ass's colt. You know what? After you got saved, you should be tame. You should turn into a little sheep, a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to be, not a wild ass's colt anymore. But the Bible says, he rode that ass. It says, and straightway they sought, and he shall say, the Lord have need of them. And straightway he will send them. And the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, it says that that ass was at a place where two roads met. Crossroads. That was a crossroad. You know what? Everybody, I believe if God will come by your way and you're being at a crossroads. I remember Buddy Cargill preached on that message on, he said, everybody had to go, you know, David had 400 men, went to the cave. He said, all that was in distress, all that was in debt, and all that was discontented. He said, you know what the conditions to follow David was? Distress, discontented, and those that were in debt. You know what God does for us? I mean, when people get saved, most of the time it says they're at a crossroads in life. They come to a crossroads. And we'll look at that in a minute, but if we have time, we'll look at that. But it says they were at a crossroads. And Jesus said, where two ways met. Look in Mark chapter 11. Go to Mark 11. Look at it. Look at it again. Or look at it first time, put it that way. Mark chapter 11. Look at this. They were at a crossroads. Are you at a crossroads this morning? Are you in a place? I mean, man, at a crossroads, you need something this morning? As a child of God, you could be at a crossroads. You know, every day we live, we at a crossroads. Whether you're going to serve God or whether you're not. Every day you live, you're going to let the Lord ride? You're going to let him have control? You're going to give your body to ride you in and people praise God for it? You know, people will praise God for what you've done if you'll let God ride you, if you'll let the Lord be number one in your life. And Luke or Mark chapter 11, it says that, where is it? If I can find it here, look at my notes. I'm trying to preach fast. Mark chapter 11, verse 4. Look at this. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosened. Two ways met. I mean, folks, every day we live, like I said, we are at a crossroads in our life. You come to a place, the Lord says, you going to let me ride today? You going to let me ride or no? You going to let me be used by you? And I use you? Man, I tell you what, we'll come to that place in our life and we'll say, no, not today, Lord. Not today. You just can't ride today. I got too many things going on. I just can't handle it today, Lord. You know, the Bible says that they came to a place where two ways met. You know, the Bible says, ask the animal, only animal in your Bible that had to be redeemed. Over in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. Isn't that something? 13:13. Exodus 13:13. It said that the firstborn and the ass had to be redeemed. Now, Lord's likened this to that as lost. He said, if you don't redeem that ass when it's born, if you don't redeem it, you break his neck. A lot of people breaking their neck, man. Breaking their neck because they won't redeem. Won't come to the Redeemer. They need the Redeemer. And the Bible says, tell the daughters, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon the ass. That was a prophecy. Tell them. You know, you have people stand up saying, I was nothing. Whenever you find somebody think, they say, I believe, you know, I did God a favor or God got something good when he got me. No, he didn't. You're a fool. I mean, brother, I tell you what, we were in need of being redeemed. Amen. We were in need of it. And when you get that in your mind, you know, I thought, what is the most common thing in Christians' life? Why they backslide? And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. What is the most common thing in a Christian's life that caused them to backslide? And more I thought about, then I read my Bible. And I read over there in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord said to the church of Ephesus, I got something against you. And he said, why? Why you got against me, Lord? You lost your first love. Your first love was towards me. That's what I got against you. The most common thing I found in a Christian's life, that man, that donkey man thought here going through town, he's got the God of the universe sitting on his back. Can you imagine that donkey being in the stall with his mama and all the other donkeys sitting around? I said, man, you wouldn't believe what just happened a little while ago. Man, I thought they were giving me praise. And finally, I realized it wasn't me. It wasn't me that they were shouting about. First, it scared me. It wasn't me. It was the one that was riding on my back. The one that I was carrying into Jerusalem. He allowed me to be a part of his life. God came into my life. Man, what a God. You say, well, the animals, do you think the animals talk? I believe the animals talk. I believe, my kids believe, you know, when they were little, they believed I could talk to animals. They believe that. And you know what? I know God does. I know God talks to animals. And I know that deer runs out in front of you. I think the Lord says, hey, run out there in front of that car right there. Let them know that I'm still here. The deer says, oh, man, Lord, I don't want to do that. Man, they're going to knock my head off. That's all right. Go ahead and do it. Man, you think about that whale is right going through the ocean, having a good time, and the Lord said, hey, you. Yes, sir. Wally the whale. Wally the whale going through the ocean, and all of a sudden the Lord said, hey, Wally. Yeah, Lord. I got something for you to do. What is it, Lord? There's a guy. He's a little greasy. He's a little skinny. But I got something, because you need to help me to wake him up. Old Wally said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Where is he at? Well, just follow the path I set for you. Old Wally the whale going through the water, and all of a sudden he sees something come over the shore, and the Lord says, that's him right there. Okay, Lord. You say the animals, you believe the animals listen to God? Yes, sir. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, all the creation groaneth and travaileth. You know, they always say, if you got a dog, they'll say, man, that dog senses something evil in that person. Yeah, how many of y'all have heard that before? Some dogs just mean as you know what. But, man, they say that dog could sense it. Mark walked in our house the other night, and Leo went, rrr. I said, get him, boy, get him. I'm telling you, folks, animals obey God. That donkey was in a place where two ways met. In a crossroads. Where you at this morning? You in a crossroads? Don't you think it's time to yield and let the Lord have his way in your life? Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, you take control. Most Christians never let God run their life. Never obey him. Never yield to him. Can you imagine that donkey if Jesus got on it and started bucking him, started fighting him, started trying to run off this way, trying to run off that way? You know, you say donkeys are hard-headed. Oh, yeah. Donkeys are real hard-headed. You know what a lot of Christians do when Jesus sits down on them? They just go crazy. They don't want no part of him running their life. That donkey yielded. They took that mama right along with them. Went right along with them. She said, what do you believe that happened? I believe they were praising God. I believe they knew who was on their back. You know what Jesus said? Here we are, human beings. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me run your life. You can share. Somebody said it a little while ago. I think it was Brother Andrew said, we share in his glory. That donkey got to share in that glory with Jesus Christ. When that donkey going in Jerusalem, they were shouting, Hosanna in the highest. They got to share in his glory. I can see that donkey 40 years sitting around, old donkey, Boy, I tell you what, I had a day when the Savior came by. I'm glad I was available. I'm glad I was there. Are you available? You in a crossroads in your life? You got to make a decision. You going to let him ride? Or you going to buck him off? A lot of Christians are bucking today.
Yep. Amen.
They're bucking. How about you this morning? Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for the passage we read. 6 days before the Passover, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world going to die for us. He got to Jerusalem. He wept over. He wept over that place. Oh, my God, help us be yielded, Lord. Help us be loving, Lord. Help us to praise you. They were crying, Hosanna to the highest. Glory to God. The Bible tells us that when you come back and you're going to ride on a white horse and you're going to go through Jerusalem, we're going to be there with you. Oh, God, Lord, please help us, Lord. Every day we live, God, we come to that place of crossroads. Help us make the right decision. Help us to pray. Lord, I don't want to make a mess. I don't want to make a mess and you be ashamed of. And Lord, there'd be somebody that made a mess. Lord, you're able to help them clean it up. Make up their mind now that they're going to let you ride from here on out. You're going to ride. We're going to share in the glory of God. What is your life but a vapor? Appear for a little while, then vanish away. Lord, you said we are living sacrifices. Help us yield to you. Help my brothers and sisters this morning. Oh, God, thank you for Palm Sunday. Oh, that palm represents a military declaration. Victory. Oh, God, thank you for Palm Sunday. There's, like I said, Lord, help us to reach people. They're walking out of their church this morning thinking, look at my palm, and they don't even know what it means. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us be more faithful to you and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.